It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We work so hard at that, a little insulted. We work so hard at that, a little insulted, that in the sense of it's like, well, it's just a gimme. Like, we work so hard at that play. We're talking about banning it. Like, you know, I think that's a little unfair. And again, it's a little insulted by that in the sense of, like, A.J. Brown's really good at catching the deep ball. I don't think we're going to ban that. Patrick Mahomes is a phenomenal quarterback. We can't ban all the things that he does
right,
so
no
well.
One pass it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Super Bowl winning coach Nick Sirianni.
Making all the sense in the world.
And he tells you that he said, he at one point he said, of the Green Bay Packers and other people that don't like the tush push, they are jealous. He called him jealous.
I understand where he's coming from. Yeah. And I understand the sentiment, because it does seem like people are trying to stop and halt what they can't stop and halt. They're trying to do it off the field because they can't do it on the field. And teams are reacting to this tush-push trend executed best by the Eagles. So at the NFL owners meetings this week at Palm Beach, which all the coaches are gathered.
Much fun. Great place.
Great place. Great event.
You go down there and you just talk to people in the hallways.
Yeah, it's fun. They're accessible. They have total access this morning. We heard from Mike Tomlin talking about Aaron Rodgers this morning. A lot of things going on. But league-wide,
hotel room, find a nice watch.
What? Awesome.
It's never happened.
The big issue league-wide would be a couple things that are coming up. The tush-push legislation, if you will, and the 18th game possibility.
So, okay, let's talk about the dichotomy between those two things.
Because the absurdity is there for
you
us
need,
to look
you
at.
You need to ban the tush-push because guys are getting injured in the pile, guys are diving into the pile. You're trying to preserve careers. Let's play another game.
Yes, right.
Like, what?
So absurd. Because you know why it's absurd? I can almost understand the 18th game, and we can debate the merits of that and understand all that comes with it. But I don't, because I think those are valid concerns about the health and safety of players and the financial ramifications. But when you're talking about the tush push, the 1-yard quarterback sneak that the Eagles do better than anybody else in the league, if you are citing player safety issues, show me the facts. Let's see the evidence. Have you seen anything? We follow closely.
It's a Super Bowl. was it Jones dove into the pile? He tried to like put his body there, and he kind of got hurt.
Yeah, but
in the Super Bowl,
that's an anecdotal thing. They're talking about specific injuries. Is it because of the angle of your neck? I just feel like I'm with Andrew Brandt too. He tweeted this morning. We talked about it last week. It's an ongoing conversation. Andrew Brandt, our guy who is up to speed on all things NFL. On the tush push, opponents cite player safety, but there are no statistics showing it is less safe. It's hard to see the move to ban it as anything but trying to remove a proven competitive advantage for one very successful team. So as a result, Andrew Brandt thinks it's going to stay. I think it should stay. The Packers have been the team identified as being most opposed to it.
Most cowardly, dare we say.
Yes, the green and yellow. Yes.
They wear. There you go. Yellow is the cowardly.
The green and yellow.
Green is the envy.
Yes, right. Green is the envy. Yellow is the cowardice. Hello, Packers. Take that from the one.
Packers are full of crap.
Okay. But Molly, seriously.
That's so good.
It's not just the Packers, as we're finding out.
No, no, there are teams, other teams. Yes.
That are quieter.
Yeah.
Quieter behind the scenes saying, but you supportive. Go, Mark yeah. Murphy.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
Argue on our behalf teams. Because we can't stop it either.
I wonder how the Bears feel about
well,
it. Because they can't stop it.
Well, I think, though, I would love somebody to ask that question, and I would love for it to be asked honestly, answered honestly.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I don't believe the Bears are in favor of, let me rephrase that so it doesn't come out as a double negative. I believe the Bears, if they were to be totally transparent, would be opposed to the tush push and support a rule making it illegal.
Hmm.
That's my hunch.
And you believe that because they can't stop it?
Well, I don't know that we have...
Do we have evidence?
I don't know if we have evidence that they can't stop it. I think that they probably buy into the idea that it's unsafe. And what you hear anecdotally is that they're against it because of that, which is fine. If you have data to support your evidence, then show
the data.
Let's see your work.
I believe that's accurate. I think that what I find fascinating is the idea of, you know, if they hit a fourth down, they can do that, and they can pick the yardage up. If they get into short yardage at the goal line, they get a touchdown out of it because of the way they do that. It's a very important play in their playbook. Why can't more teams do that? Is it because of the strength of the quarterback? We've seen him lift like 700 pounds.
It's the strength of the quarterback.
Yeah.
It's the value that he has behind center because of the threat that he poses as a passer as well.
Yes.
There's the element of surprise. Whereas every team could do this, Molly. You could have a backup quarterback designed to be your quarterback sneak guy, but if he comes into the game, your tendency is revealed, and you're showing your hand.
But you know they're going to do it when they're in that position.
And you can't stop it anyway.
You can't stop it.
It's only a yard. It's only a yard because you have a center, you have an offensive line that
yes.
you practice it, and you perfect it.
Yeah.
And Nick Sirianni is exactly right. Because you do something exceptionally well, they're going to outlaw it. His point about A.J. Brown, what's next? They're gonna outlaw the go route because somebody's faster than everybody else?
Right.
Are they going to outlaw 60-yard field goals because you got a guy with a strong leg? No. That'd be the same thing. You can't stop Jalen Hurts from the one, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to make it illegal. That's a bad idea. It's a bad trend.
I want to know if there are a lot of players – in defensive players on the interior that are trying to dive with these linemen, if there have been any concussions. It seemed like Jones in the Super Bowl threw his body onto the ground in front of it and just got steamrolled for a guy that usually
bad strategy.
Is running over people.
Bad strategy.
But it was just an attempt to stop something that they couldn't stop.
But you're not going to legislate a play or make it illegal because the guy made a bad decision
to defend it. If you're going to ban it like they're talking about, shouldn't you just make it like if the Eagles get to the one that's like the end zone, you get the touchdown. Right?
I'll be honest. I'm surprised a team that didn't propose to ban it was Washington with what happened in the NFC Championship
right.
game.
Yeah.
That's
How
right.
many times did they jump over the line?
They might be hiding behind the Packers.
That was awful.
They might be one of those teams.
They kept going over the time. I mean, it was out of control. There were like three times.
If you're going to introduce legislation, how about that? Right. You can't have more than three consecutive offside penalties, or else it's an automatic touchdown.
The reward is score.
It is an incredible disadvantage for the offense when you get down there, because if you jump offsides, see you bye, you're going back 10 yards. If they jump offsides, you get half the distance to the goal.
And then if you do it enough, though, Sean Hockley is going to give you a touchdown. Remember that?
Yes, I
remember. That was hilarious.
That's really good.
But that's a good conversation.
It's
a worthy conversation. But I don't know that the tush push is something that screams like, okay, we need to change the game. It isn't a sexy play. It does look like rugby, and this is football, as one of our texter points out. But if you don't like it, stop it.
The team's going for it on fourth down. I would love to look at the success rate. So, for instance, I know that the Detroit Lions were fourth in the NFL in going for a fourth down, and they wound up hitting 22 of 33 or something like that, which put them at the 69 percentile when they went for a fourth down. The problem is that they go for it on fourth down all year long. You get in the playoffs, and now if you keep going for it, you're going to run into a problem. You're playing better teams. They're more prepared for it. And you can argue that the problem with Campbell as a coach, a head coach in the NFL, is that he's too aggressive in those situations in the playoffs, and it's really bit him the last couple of years.
Okay, so...
So maybe you don't. I'm very curious to see how Ben Johnson feels about that, how he feels about going for it with the Bears. They went for it, I believe, 38 times last year, which was the second most in the NFL. I believe it was 44 times that Cleveland went for it.
I think we'll find that.
I think the Giants
again,
went for 37.
These are just hunches and educated guesses based on our early interpretation or perception of Ben Johnson.
Yes.
I don't think that he will be as aggressive as Dan Campbell was.
No, I hope not. I think the first three teams are who went for it the most: Cleveland, the Bears, and the Giants, all terrible last year. And then obviously Detroit after that. But it's a desperation ploy for a team like the Bears.
Detroit
when you're
was
losing 10 in a row.
The most aggressive good team. The other ones were desperate bad teams that were maybe forced to go for
well
it on fourth down.
Yep.
And statistically, it created this maybe false perception that they were being aggressive. No, they were being desperate.
Yeah, they're desperate.
The Lions were being aggressive.
They were a
team that probably were too aggressive and aggressive to a fault. I think that Ben Johnson then comes to Chicago, and he'll have some of those experiences he can lean on.
But he also has to know that it's bitten them in the playoffs the last couple of years, right?
He was probably the voice in Dan Campbell's head saying, "Are you sure about this?"
Right.
He doesn't strike me as being the riverboat gambler type. He strikes me as being somebody who's going to lean on analytics maybe more than we are comfortable with at first, but at the same time not be reckless with the numbers.
So do they need a short yardage back, or do they need a dynamic?
You always need a short yardage back.
They need both, right?
I think they do.
Yeah.
And let's face it, this tush-push conversation revolves around Jalen Hurts because he does it exceptionally well.
That's it.
They are having this conversation in Buffalo. Josh Allen, is as powerful as he is and as great of a runner as he is, isn't necessarily great at this because it's a leverage game. He's 6'4".
Yeah, he's a big man.
He's a big guy.
Now he's got a longer body and he can stretch out and everything, but he also...
And he can run you over in the open field.
Yes.
But when you're talking about this compressed space and where you need to find the gap and use your leverage and push, that's the whole idea. The tush push, the brotherly shove, the lakeshore dive, whatever you want to call it.
We have angered a couple of Packers.
I know.
I love that.
I know.
Thank you for making my morning. designed to anger you.
They get a little carried away with the yellow talk. I don't know.
Yellow and green.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Cowardice and envy.
Yeah, it's right.
I like it.
It's good. But we also have a couple people that are insisting that football isn't rugby. Stop trying to make it such. It's not.
That's where it came from.
It's a short yardage. You have short yardage situations everywhere on the field every Sunday they play, right. Every game.
Right.
You're going to have 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, 1st-and-goal from the 1. You're going to have these situations all the time.
But, I mean, I think it's a really interesting question whether it's too big an advantage for Philadelphia because they do it so well. So if you're going to ban it, you're trying to stop them from winning. It is an attack on a team with a player that does it superbly.
That's what I would feel like if I'm Nick Sirianni. I've seldom agreed with the way he has, what he has said. I mean, he's an easy guy to pick on, but he makes perfect sense on that.
If you went to an Eagles game, he would come over and kind of chat with you. You guys could agree on it, as opposed to yelling at fans.
Yes,
as we've seen him.
Yeah,
do.
I would not want him to yell at me.
No,
we would be talking. We'd have a good conversation. We would bond, and he might cry. He'd be so moved to tears.
Let's try Don from the West Side. Don is with us. Hey, Don, long time.
Hey, great morning, guys. I agree with everything you're saying. I don't think that the play should be outlawed because the Eagles are good. But just to play devil's advocate, isn't that similar to the rule ban that they did where you can't create that wedge on kickoffs that was injuring and giving players concussions?
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, it's the same thing.
Well, the difference is with the wedge on a kickoff, you had a wedge buster whose job was to come down and try to dive into and explode that wedge. And that is people got hurt doing that.
That's the thing.
Walking around concussed with it.
There were examples.
In the interior of the line, as Don's pointing out, there is that sort, like there is that, you know, that immovable object, and you're banging heads, and that's always dangerous.
Yes, but I think that is inherent in any short yardage situation.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's also something that is not exactly new or unique to that down and distance.
Point of the game is to get 10 yards and 4 downs.
Short yardage situations are part of football and always will be.
Yes.
Now, the kickoff return, as it used to be, has changed because of the rules, because of the concussion.
Yes. So many guys got hurt.
The rise in concussions created an awareness that was heightened and rules that were changed because of that.
Yes.
That was not anecdotal. That wasn't one team.
That was
league-wide.
The league. Yeah, no
so
question.
What I think the difference is that, Don, it's a great point, but I don't think it's applicable just because you don't have as many people or examples of guys getting hurt trying to stop the tush push.
I'm telling you, you could ban it very easily if you had the evidence that it was injuring people. So if it is unsafe, they should stop it. But I mean, the idea that, okay, we're going to stop this because we care about the play. Let's play another game. That is the idea of expanding the schedule to 18
games. Can you imagine sitting in that meeting, the
insane.
Owner's meeting, and having that on the agenda, and you look at your minutes of the meeting or you look at your itinerary and say, okay, at 8:15, we're going to talk about banning the tush push. Oh, at 8:30, once that discussion is over, we're going to get to adding an 18th game.
You want to know how you hurt players? Keep playing more games.
Yeah.
Keep rolling them out there.
Let's go from.
Let's see how many they can get to.
Labor Day to Valentine's Day. All right. That's what we're going to do.
Hey, in the argument, well, they play 81 or 82 in the NBA. What the hell are you talking about? You can't play two a week.
Football. How about baseball? Baseball's 162 game season.
Like how far into the winter are we going? The NFL owns everything. And I appreciate. They're also. One of the other things they're talking about is giving teams a 3-week notice before they move into Thursday night.
Yeah.
So, you got 3
weeks.
That's
not good for the recovery of players either.
It's insane.
It's even worse for fans.
It's pretty bad for fans.
It's worse for fans.
It's really bad for morning radio guys.
Well, morning radio guys aside, I think that we can get over that one night of lost sleep, whereas if I were a fan and I'm planning a trip and I'm booking in May, then they change it in,
November. Now you got to go on Thursday.
Why do you hate me, Roger Goodell? That's not fan friendly. I understand the value and the TV ratings and all the things, but I don't think that is necessarily in the best interest of everybody involved in the NFL.
I agree with you.
And these days, everybody is involved in addicted to the NFL.
The NFL's king.
The NFL is king.
And all you do is you add them, you know, add another star to their crown.
I'm curious, though.
Steal some ruby from India, put it in a crown.
I know.
What?
It will come up. When George McCaskey meets the Bears media, as I think he is scheduled to do, it is the owners' meetings, I hope and trust that somebody will ask him where he stands on the tush push, and I will be very curious how he responds.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Does he side with the Packers?
I don't know.
The dreaded Packers?
He might be against it just because it's the Packers that are standing for it.
Out of principle?
Well, I'll be surprised. They don't like the Packers.
I'll be surprised if he sides with the Eagles, and I hope that they have a reasonable explanation.
The proximity to men's rooms will determine how you feel about the Packers.
You don't think he takes the urinal guards with them to the owners' meetings, do you?
Wouldn't that be something? And they have no owner, per se, so you could get away with it.
Well, they have a representative, though.
It's a statement.
Do you think that he would do that at the owners' meetings, the hotel?
I would doubt it.
In Palm Beach?
I don't know.
No. He's been known to do that at other places.
Yes.
Around town.
Yes.
Always carries a handy one. I mean, that's bad.
It's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny.
I love the idea. Like, oh my God, hey, I just saw this in your bathroom. Yeah, George McCaskey was here. He does not like the Packers. All right, we gotta get to a break. I believe
Jerry Palm.
We're gonna bring in Jerry Palm.
Yep.
You know what I find fascinating? And we'll ask Jerry about it. I am almost certain that all four of the teams left in the tournament, all number one seeds, are on his top 10 list for both offense and defense. So think about that. You know, there were stronger defensive teams and then stronger offensive teams, but each team in the top 10 in both categories. We'll talk to Jerry next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Williams. Intercepted. The Gators are going to the Final Four.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Maybe that was the closest game. They had to do a comeback at the end of it in order to win. But what we see is what we get. We see number one seeds everywhere you look. The tournament is full of them, and we are delighted to welcome in Jerry Palm. Jerry joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Aturo.com. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
You know, I was saying to David, I believe that all four of these teams are in the top 10 in your rankings on offense and defense. I think teams are 10th, but they're all in the top 10.
Yeah, those are really good teams, both ends of the floor. Auburn was the best team for most of the season. Florida was probably the best team going into the tournament. Duke was right there with all of them. Houston's been great since a little before conference play started. They didn't really get a chance with their schedule to show as much until conference play got going. But, all four of these teams, they're good in different ways, but they're all, I would say, pretty much equally capable of winning this thing.
So, Jerry, what is your level of surprise or disappointment that we have four number one seeds in the Final Four for the first time since 2008?
Yeah, that was also San Antonio, by the way. That was a very memorable Final Four. I don't know if you remember, but Kansas won over Memphis in overtime.
Derrick Rose.
Miss Free
Throws. Yeah. Derrick Rose, I think, was on that team.
Yeah.
Yep.
That Memphis team. I can't say I'm disappointed. These were the four best teams. It's nice to have the four best teams there. Not that, you know, it would have been made significantly worse in any way had, say, Michigan State showed up or Tennessee showed up instead of Auburn or Houston. But, you know, it's nice to have, you know, the four best teams in a setting like this to try and determine which was actually the best.
So are we congratulating the committee on the way they seeded the tournament? How are we looking at it then?
Okay, so it's a logical fallacy to judge the committee selections and seedings based on what happens in the tournament because they don't have that information to make those decisions,
mm-hmm.
right? They're making decisions based on what they did in the regular season. So, you know, they were legitimate, I think, number one seeds. I'm not sure that really any of the twos had much of an argument to be a one, maybe Tennessee, but it's really, you know, those were, I think, pretty odd. By the time we got to Selection Sunday, pretty obvious number one seeds, but the fact that they made the Final Four doesn't mean the committee got it wrong or they're getting it wrong every year, except for 2008.
How about Auburn going into the Final Four with maybe Jahni Broome injured? How concerned are you about his elbow and what effect that might have on their game?
Yeah, well, if he's limited in his effectiveness, that is definitely a problem because this is too good a group of teams for them to get by shorthanded. If I remember correctly, he went out, and I didn't get to watch it because I was in Indianapolis, and that our game, you know, bled into that one, so I didn't get a chance to watch much of Michigan State and Auburn. But if I remember correctly, he went out and came back in. But yeah, if that injury is a problem, I mean, this field is too good for Auburn to be with a limited Jahni Broome.
I think, Jerry, maybe you tweeted this, that Purdue Was it Purdue and Marquette, the only teams that didn't have a transfer player mm-hmm. on them? You know, a lot
on the
of
roster.
Yes,
in the major conferences anyway. Well, although I assume there's a lot of transfers on.
That's all there were is major conferences. I mean, the final the Sweet 16 had four conferences represented. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I was talking about even the teams that didn't make the tournament, the teams in the major conferences. Whether they made the tournament or not, I'm pretty sure Purdue and Marquette were the only ones without transfers.
It's crazy. That used to be. That means there's no such thing as, I guess I'll call it program building, because that means you had guys and you work with them for 4 years or you. But like we're not going to see that again in the mid majors, right? Because everybody's got money and everybody's recruiting, you know, NIL stuff.
Yeah, it's actually been like that for a few years. Since really NIL got going and the transfer portal became a thing, it's been really hard to have a roster, you know, where you've got entirely homegrown kids. And, you know, it's not like, you know, Purdue or Marquette are necessarily averse to the transfer portal, because Purdue had a transfer on last year's team, Lance Jones from Southern Illinois, who was a big piece of what they were able to accomplish last year. So, and they'll be in the portal this year too, because they've already lost two guys. Since the season ended, that they'll need to replace on the roster through the portal. So it's not that they're averse to it, but you know I know Purdue especially well. You know, they recruit to a culture, and that part of that culture is wanting to go to school and stay in school and get your degree, and you know, in one spot. So you know, that's I guess at least in part why they've been able to not be churning so much in the transfer portal as other teams do.
So, Jerry, when you look at the Final Four, it's interesting to see the contrast, and you could pair a couple coaches in John Shire and Todd Golden in one category, late 30s guys who are inexperienced first Final Fours and maybe at a disadvantage or maybe not because of Kelvin Sampson and Bruce Pearl have been there and done that, well-traveled, grizzled veterans, guys who give you maybe some advantages in games like this. How do you see the coaching matchups shaping up?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, yeah, I mean, Pearl, you're right. He's been around, and Kelvin Sampson's been around, and those guys have been successful. They haven't won at this level yet, but still, you know, they are certainly well-respected veteran coaches. But I, you know, Shire has done a great job in just, 3 years at Duke.
Right.
In keeping what was a really good thing rolling. And he's got maybe their best team in quite some time, even by their standards at Duke right now. And then, you know, Golden, he came over from San Francisco where he had done a pretty good job, you know, building that program up in a difficult place to do it because you're competing with Gonzaga and St. Mary's every year.
Right.
And it just, you know, kept it going and made it Florida even better. So I don't know that coaching is going to be a big deal. I don't think any of these coaches have rings. So it'll be a first, I think, for whichever coach wins it, whether it's a veteran or somebody not quite as seasoned.
Who's the best player left? Is it Cooper Flagg? How good do you think he is? And you know, the ankles thing of the past, right? Can he dominate this Final Four?
He can. Yeah, he's dominated the regular season. Yeah. He's dominated, you know, in the tournament. He's a dominant player. He's the best player in the tournament. Broome also would be on that list. If he's 100%, then I think there's a debate there. But I think Flagg's going to be the National Player of the Year. And he's been the best player all season long, and he's the best player still in the tournament.
Jerry, when you have four number one seeds in the Final Four, I think it's hard to look at it. Some people just think that, you know, it's not a disappointment. It's something that the way it should have gone, and so everybody's sort of happy. But if you look at the tournament and trying to remove yourself from the Purdue disappointment, because I know you probably took that one personally. They didn't guard the inbound passer, and boy, that was a tough loss to take. But was there any team or coach or player that you think came out of this tournament was the most disappointing for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's hard to say that there is anybody that was really, truly disappointing, because we didn't have a lot of upsets,
right?
Even. even in the early rounds, yep. there was a lot of chalk in this tournament. There's hardly any teams that really didn't play to seed. You know, it's hard to say that there was anybody where, you know, it was a truly disappointing. I guess maybe Iowa State.
Huh.
You know, if I'm going to pick one, I guess I'll pick them.
St. John's?
We saw them in Milwaukee. But they lost to an Ole Miss team that got hot at a good time. Yeah. You know, but that Iowa State team probably hoped for better. But I'm not sure that they were going to get more than one game past where they did.
That's a good one. How about St. John's?
Oh, you know, I guess my expectations for them weren't as high because they had a gaudy record, but it was really light on higher quality wins because they were the high quality win in that league. You know, UConn was a middle of the bracket team, kind of disappointing. Creighton was in the middle of the bracket. You know, the Marquette was a little bit higher than that, but kind of faded down the stretch of the season. So, you know, they got 30 wins, but they didn't have any wins over anybody that was a top four seed even in the regular season. So I guess my expectations for them were a little lower.
So are we bidding goodbye now to the mid-majors in terms of this tournament? Like, Drake had a great year. They got a win to open the tournament, but then they bowed out. You know, VCU, we never saw them do what they did during the regular season. It's just kind of weird that nobody really upset it.
Yeah, nobody got two games deep.
Yes.
You know, there were some one-game, you know, double-digit seeds, Drake, Colorado State, you know, that were able to get a win, but nobody got the second win. So we didn't have any teams like that in the Sweet 16. You know, it's 1 year, and I don't consider 1 year to be a trend. But I think it's something to watch for. I think it's going to be harder for those teams to compete. The way the money tends to flow disproportionately to the major conferences, and it's probably going to be even more disproportionate in the future. I'm actually concerned about the Big East because they don't play football, you know, so they devote more of their financial resources to basketball. I mean, UConn plays football, but, you know, for the most part, they don't. But it's... you know, I wonder if it's going to if that league is going to be as sustainable going forward in terms of basketball. But you know, we'll see. They've got a better chance than the other leagues that either don't play football or don't play high Division I football. It's going to be a challenge to put together a team. You know, you've got to catch lightning in a bottle because once you have that year, all of your good players are going to get poached. So it's hard to maintain consistently good programs at places like that, you know, outside the major conferences, because once you have a good year, everybody who was good is going to get bought off by one of the other bigger schools.
I know what you're saying about Cooper Flagg, and I agree. Broome, same deal. Those might be the two most well-known and most accomplished players in the Final Four. But it wouldn't surprise me if Walter Clayton Jr. ends up being the guy who, if Florida wins, he's the reason why, and the guy that brings them back if they look like they're losing a game like he did the other night. They came back, and their comeback gets overshadowed a little bit by the other things that happened. But the way they beat Texas Tech and the kind of tournament he's having, special month for that young man.
Yeah, and really a great season, you know, for him. I mean, he was kind of overshadowed by Broome and Flagg and all the talk that those two guys got. But, yeah, Clayton was tremendous this season. And in that comeback in particular, which I didn't get to see until later because I was walking. I was walking somewhere from one place to another in Indianapolis. And I thought that game was over, and I get back to where I was going, and it wasn't even 5 minutes later, and they tied it up.
Unbelievable.
Like, wow.
That's so true.
So, yeah, and Houston, by the way, if they win, it's probably good they're going to get carried by L.J. Crier.
Right.
So each team, each of these teams has got a superstar that, you know, they can ride two more games to a national championship, and they're going to need that superstar if they're going to accomplish what they hope to accomplish.
Jerry, we'll let you go. Who do you think wins it? Is it obviously?
Well, I picked Florida before the tournament, so I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
I had Duke also in the final. I think it's an interesting final if they both get there.
Yep.
but there's a case for each of these four teams.
Great stuff, Jerry. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Thanks.
That's Jerry Palm. Good to talk to him.
Yeah.
Who do you have? Do you have? Oh, you had St. John's.
I had St. John's in the Final Four. I had Michigan State winning it all, so we don't need to talk about my bracket.
I apologize.
Thanks for bringing it up.
But you had Duke.
Appreciate that.
Is that your final?
Yeah, point? Duke. I think Duke will get there. Now I want Duke to win. I think that's the best matchup in the final.
Duke against Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you? That's
what
I want to watch next Monday
Duke.
Night. That's what I want to watch next Monday
night. That was my selection for the game.
Okay, Swami.
No, I mean, when you get number one seeds, I don't think you can brag about it. But I had them before their tournament run. I feel like I've been on Florida for all. Didn't we talk about it?
Yes, we talked about it. We talked about it. Rub it in.
I'm not rubbing anything in.
We got that Bulls hat on. Now you're a basketball expert.
Oh, my God. Boy, you're picking on me like crazy. I got the Bulls hat for free. Patrick Sandusky gave me the Loyola Bulls hat.
It's a very nice look. It is.
I kind of, the Ramblers play, so I might wear it for 2 days.
Tomorrow night.
I could be with this hat for a little bit.
Excellent.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
0.9 of a second, and the Mavs will put it in play. Running baseline, and they go to Klay Thompson, dribbles it out in backcourt, and the ball game is over. My goodness.
Ah, Chuck Swirsky, no dancing on that night. That was Saturday night.
That was sad.
We went to the game, had a blast. I really had a great time.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was really fun.
Except for the outcome.
It's just a pity that they couldn't complete that comeback.
It turned the ball over too much.
They did turn the ball
sloppy
over too much.
With the basketball. The letdown that Billy Donovan kind of warned us might happen.
Yes, he was great.
Warned his team too
about it. And it's interesting. He did warn his team, and I don't think that was a self-fulfilling prophecy as you suggested it might have been.
I did suggest that.
I think it was more like appreciate what you had
don't,
to get
don't,
done.
Don't worry about mispronouncing that word, Mully.
Which word?
That word that you're going to mispronounce next. That's what I mean. If I tell you something, not to worry about something.
Oh, right.
You're going
then
to
you're
worry
going,
about
I gotcha.
It.
I gotcha.
Don't worry about not being up mentally for this game, guys.
Yes.
Don't worry about.
So when you mention the negative, that becomes the obsession.
Doesn't it?
Or obsession. Whatever. I'll mispronounce it on purpose.
See?
Because you suggested I would.
I just think you plant the seed sometimes.
That's interesting. We had breakfast in the culinary kitchen here in the building.
Yep.
And some guy came in from like a cooking school, and they were making everybody like eggs. And so he says to me, come on up and break some of the eggs. And I'm standing there, and I said to him, I've been having a lot of problems breaking eggs of late. I keep putting shell in my eggs. I mean, I'll let you do it. He immediately put shell in the eggs. Like, it was like I had laid down the suggestion that, oh, this is not as easy as you think it is. And it's like something he'd been doing without thinking. And all of a sudden, there's all sorts of shell he's got to fish out. It was my fault.
It was your fault. It was fine.
I ruined
it until you mentioned it.
It's like someone with the yips at second base.
Don't give voice to it. Just try to deal with it like, okay.
I couldn't turn to double play.
That's because he probably thought about it every time that he tried.
And this guy's struggling with the eggshell.
Billy Donovan doesn't – he does pretty much everything in a way that makes a lot of sense. And I know what he – the way he explained it, too, was very logical.
Yeah.
Don't let the letdown happen. Do you realize how close you guys were to losing the game that you won?
Think about how many things had to go right. You feel great because you beat them, but you had to have a three-pointer from Patrick Williams – fairly unlikely play. You had to have a steal from Josh Giddey, fairly unlikely play, who passed it out to Kobe, who knocked down another three. And then there's the half-court heave.
So basically, he didn't want them to get too complacent or full of themselves.
Be leading at the end of the game so you don't have to come back.
I might have just gone with, great win, guys. We need another one tonight. Let's make sure we do everything the way we did last time. Let's make sure that we have our focus. Let's be sure that we're defensively responsible. Let's just the same approach every night. Don't even plant the seed that, you guys were so close, it's so tenuous and all these things, and you could have let it slip away. Because they know what happened on Saturday night.
They let it slip away.
They let it slip away.
It was Vooch. Vooch could not hit a free throw.
But it was
a very big free throw. No, that
it was before that.
You know, there, like in the first quarter,
yeah,
there was a play, like an alley-oop. I think it was to Matas, and he missed the dunk.
Mm-hmm.
They lost by a point. That's all I'm saying.
It wasn't because of the missed dunk.
They missed the
dunk.
You
can't play that game.
And we're
you know better. You can't play that game.
That is the deciding
score. And it
score.
Wasn't because Vooch missed that free throw either. It was because they put themselves in that situation by being careless with the basketball too often. They didn't protect the basketball. They squandered the opportunity, and they lost to the Mavs.
In the free throw.
Because they were inside their head.
Guys, don't miss another free throw at an important moment.
That's
and,
right.
And please dunk the ball when you get the chance.
It was almost like going to the bench during a timeout and, Vooch, don't miss this. Don't miss. You know how close you were to missing the last one? You almost missed the last one.
You're supposed to say, after he hits both free throws, we're going to then.
Yes, yes.
I got you.
So pregame, after we win this game, we're going to be in a good position to go into Oklahoma City on Monday and do what we do there.
Any chance tonight?
Slim.
Slim chance.
Slim.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance, but I do think Giddey will outscore Caruso.
Yes.
I don't know that he will have more floor burns than him.
No one ever does. No, he leads the league in floor burns. God bless him. All right. We're going to talk to Brooke Fletcher. The White Sox are starting the season. Maybe unexpectedly, they got a win to open it.
They're 1-2.
And they've lost by one run in both those games.
She's done a great job, though. She's off to a good start.
Yeah. We'll talk to Brooke next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.